When Governor Pat Quinn signed Illinois' fracking law over the summer, it was hailed as one of the most comprehensive fracking laws in the country. The oil and gas industry worked with environmentalists to hammer out the law, but now that they've seen the draft regulations, nobody is particularly happy. Ann Alexander with the Natural Resources Defense Council in Chicago helped write the legislation, and she thinks the draft rules fly in the face of the letter of the law. She says one provision gives health care providers access to trade secret protected chemical information in case of an accident, but the draft rule doesn't provide a sensible way to get that info.
Say the ambulance driver arriving at the scene can either call the department during normal business hours, which really doesn't help anybody if the accident happens not during the hours of 9 to 5, or it says they can call the trade secret holder, but it doesn't say how they find out who the trade secret holder is. There's just no way to know.
Environmentalists say the draft rules weaken a provision that presumes fracking companies are liable if a nearby water source becomes contaminated. Jennifer Castle with the Environmental Law and Policy Center believes the rule kills one of the law's strengths, the provision that flowback or produced water be held in airtight closed containers. That wastewater is full of chemicals, oil, gas, and other contaminants.
We know there have been circumstances where those ponds overflow in storms. Those ponds, like any other sort of pond or impoundment, can leak, they can leach, they can have structural issues where, you know, it could cave in.
But under the proposed rules, Castle says energy companies can store wastewater in open-air pits if there's an unforeseeable volume of it for up to 7 days after the end of fracking operations.
So essentially they're allowing fracking companies to underestimate the capacity that their tanks may need, thus requiring the need for these pits, and then they're letting folks keep wastewater in the pits for far longer than the 7 days written into the law.
Yeah, I do not understand where they're coming from. I don't see that at all.
That's Brad Richards. He's the executive vice president of the Illinois Oil and Gas Association.
Everybody knows what the legislative intent was, and the regs seem to follow that. I think there were environmental groups that were, you know, perhaps surprised that we ended up with an agreed bill, and some of those folks seem to be trying to maybe revisit issues or what have you.
Richards is pretty pleased with the draft regulation, but he too has concerns, especially if public hearings and comments are required for each well site.
The big issue in my mind is, will that just gum up the works? These companies need regulatory and permitting certainty. You know, if each of these kind of devolve into a circus, this development will not happen.
None of this sits well with local environmentalists in Southern Illinois who feel betrayed by groups like the Sierra Club and the Natural Resources Defense Council for agreeing to the fracking legislation in the first place instead of supporting a moratorium. Annette McMichael with Southern Illinoisans Against Fracturing Our Environment.
The people, the families that are going to be most affected by this have not had an opportunity to speak to the people that are making the decisions. And it makes me very sad to think what this country's come to if we can't even have local control or some voice in what's going on.
The IDNR has scheduled 5 public hearings about the fracking regulations. McMichael and other environmentalists hope to inundate the department with comments before the public commenting period ends on January the 3rd. I'm Jacob McClelland.